You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a rainy Tuesday here in East Tennessee. Thank you so much for being along for the ride here this afternoon. Another three-hour tour starts right now on a day when the Titans, my Titans, have fired J-Rob, the general manager. We'll have Lucas Panzeca from 104.5 The Zone on to talk about it in hour number two. I was listening to a little bit of their show today. They're shocked. Shockwaves going through the Music City this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm a little surprised about the timing of it, but I'm not shocked.
We have World Cup, another great day of World Cup action going on. Portugal looks like they are going to go through up 2-0 on Switzerland at the half. Earlier today, Morocco, a shocking upset. They took down España in penalty kicks. The best horrible way to end any sort of sporting event. We'll keep you up to date. We'll maybe ask Lucas about that as well. But that is not what is on Big Orange Country's mind today, ladies and gentlemen. Tennessee fans are, and I was a little surprised at the reaction to the Hendon Hooker snub. We had been telling you it was going to happen. I mean, Davey Hudson kind of broke it down for us immediately after the last game. I think it was on voluntary reaction after the Vandy game. He bluntly told us he's not getting invited to New York City for the Heisman Award. And that kind of shocked me. I never thought he would win it. Of course, if you listen to this show through the years, you know my thoughts on the Heisman Trophy. I consider it an illegitimate award. I don't pay much attention to it anyway. I don't care. So maybe against that backdrop is a little bit why I was surprised and just perusing the social media landscape last night. Tennessee fans not handling this well on behalf of Hendon Hooker.
No, I wonder if it has. It's who's sitting there at fourth place or the fourth invite. Everybody knew that, you know, C.J. Stroud and
Caleb Williams.
Although, you know, I mean, we can – Caleb Williams, I'll have a – the only thing that I would say about that is he's – you know, they talk about what the trophy's supposed to be about and all that. And then you got this
I don't care about that. The writing on his fingers.
Yeah,
I don't care about
it. It's trashy. Look,
it is trashy.
Classless.
It is trashy, but I don't, you know, the award should go to the best player, and if he's the best player, I don't care if he acts like a fool.
So who else? Whatever. So we got C.J. Stroud, Caleb Williams, the Duggan kid, who I think deserves an invite, and then Stetson Bennett.
Yeah.
Who does not belong on that list?
Does not belong.
One of these quarterbacks is not like the other.
I mean, yeah, Stetson Bennett's not like the other ones. He wins all the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I find it hard. And this is why we're going to have Christopher Gabriel. He does not find it hard to get worked up about these types of things. So he is going to give you what you want to hear. If you want to tune in, if you're tuning in this afternoon wanting to hear us beat our chests and cry from the highest mountaintop about what a terrible injustice has been done to one of our favorite sons, Hendo Sanko, you're going to be disappointed from me because I don't care, but I realize that you do, so we're bringing CG on to rant and rave about it like a lunatic coming up here in just a few minutes.
He's got a hot motor.
Portion of the show today brought to you by Crown Cleaners, providing Imperial Dry Cleaning Service for over 50 years. Be sure to sign up for our Crown Cleaners Bowl Picks Challenge. It is completely free to play. We've got the link on our Facebook page. We've got the link on Twitter. You could click it, register, make your picks. Gift cards to Crown Cleaners, the Pizza Kitchen, and Alumni Hall up for grabs. Really nice. gift package for this year's Bull Picks winner. So go sign up for that. Yeah, I mean, for Hendon Hooker, it's just one more injustice. I mean, he's been through it, man, ever since that beautiful night when we were crowned number one in America in the college football playoff, and we were just riding high, man.
A crisp Tuesday evening.
We were just riding high. It seems so long ago. Well, the football season goes by so fast. That seems like ages ago to me that we were number one that night.
Was it November 1st?
I don't know. Something like that.
That would have had to have been. It was the Tuesday before the Georgia game.
We were going down to Georgia full of piss and vinegar, man. Ready to shock the world. And
yeah, it was Tuesday the 1st.
We got taught a lesson down there. Okay, it happens. We bounced back. We picked ourselves up, dusted our britches off, went out there and laid the smackdown on UT Martin, or maybe, I don't know.
Mizzou, I thought.
Mizzou, yeah. And then. And ever since then, man, poor Hendo Sanko. He's handling it well, man. That kid's got a good head on his shoulders. He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. If ever there was a young man who did not need an award like the Heisman Trophy, it's Hendon Hooker. What Hendon needs is a healthy knee. He needs to heal up, and I'm sure that's where his attention is. Look, my dream for years, my dream has always been for a Tennessee player to win the Heisman Trophy, to travel to New York City, to be announced live on national television as the Heisman Trophy winner. And then to walk up to that stage, to walk up to that podium, to grab that big hunk of, what's the Heisman Trophy made of? Is that copper?
Bronze.
Bronze.
Something like that.
Grab that big hunk of whatever and smash it. Throw it right on the ground.
I don't really think it
bronze. Smash it into a million. You could smash bronze. You could break that thing. Just smash it. Look right into the camera and say, that's for Peyton Manning. And you could take the broken pieces of that hunk of junk and stick them straight up Charles Woodson's Rudy Poo candy ass. And then throw the deuces and walk out. That's my dream. 25 years, a man can dream, can he?
Sure.
A man can dream. I thought for a minute the stars might have been aligned. This might have been the year. Listen, man, like the Heisman Trophy, it's not a major award. It's not like that thing the dad from Christmas Story won. It's not a major award. It's not Fragile. It's not from Italy. It's a fake popularity contest given to whoever the national media decides is playing the best the last two or three weeks of the season. I was really surprised. Like, so many of our fans are like, I literally saw like friends of mine.
Why were you surprised about that? That was like the least surprising thing to me.
Because I love this about you, by the way. Quick aside, you have slid nicely into a Knoxville media role because you finally grasped this most annoying part of any local beat reporter guys. You're not surprised by it. Nothing surprised you. I saw everything. It doesn't surprise me. You're surprised by that? Are you surprised if you knew everything like
you're
I did?
You're surprised that our fan base took some kind of perceived slide about him and not getting invited to New York and went crazy on social media.
Yes, because we've been talking about it here on our show for weeks and weeks now, and we saw it coming. But I saw several like friends of mine literally saying they would not, they're not okay. they're having trouble getting going today. I saw one friend who might be listening, I love you, said they needed to hear from Danny White and Josh Heupel. Like, they needed that. I need to hear from our leadership today.
What the hell are they supposed to say? He got screwed over? The kid deserved to go to New York City.
I don't know what they're going to say to make you feel any better, to make you able to move forward, but it's the Heisman Trophy, man. Can we please stop talking about this? Can this be the last day we have to talk about the Heisman Trophy this year?
I hope so, because you know what the next one's going to be.
Nico?
No, that damn Biletnikoff Award that's coming up.
No. Yeah, I mean, it's not in the pantheon of awards thought as highly of as the. But yeah, I mean, I could work up some indignation towards that too.
I think it's almost that. That's the wild part to me. I think Jalen Hyatt has a better case for not only being invited to New York than Stetson Bennett, but I think Jalen Hyatt's got a pretty good case for winning the damn thing, but he's got better numbers than Devontae Smith did.
Doesn't fit the narrative. Here's the thing, man. We lost to South Carolina. Like, you control your own destiny in these things. I know it's convenient to say that we got screwed. And we have a long history of getting screwed, and, like, I get that. But we lost that game. It changed everything, not only for the team, but for Hendon Hooker and Jalen Hyde as it applies to the individual awards as well.
Are you a little bit more shocked that Heupel was snubbed from the Head Coach of the Year finalist and that Golish lost the Art
National? Because he won the SEC Coach of the Year yesterday, right?
Eddie Robinson. Yeah. Yeah, he was snubbed from that.
What do you mean snubbed?
He wasn't on the finalist
list.
He's not
part of the finalist list.
How many finalists are there?
Like eight.
Yeah, there's eight.
I am a little surprised on that.
Would you like me to tell you the
coaches? I would.
Sonny Dykes.
Okay, I see that.
Understandable.
Mike Elko from Duke.
They're pretty good this year. It's a good turnaround for them.
Willie Fritz for Tulane.
Okay.
Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I see it.
Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley, Josh Heupel, like, I don't know, man. We need to have that conversation. Go on.
Kirby Smart.
Okay.
John Summerall from Troy.
John Summerall?
Is he related to Pat?
John Summerall? Didn't they just hire a new coach? Didn't they hire Trent Dilfer?
That was UAB.
Oh. John Summerall? What the hell did John Summerall do?
Find out real quick. And then the last one on the list.
Bobo?
Troy did go 11-2.
So what? He's freaking Troy. I'm sorry. Okay, now I'm getting triggered. Who else? Are there more?
The last one is Jeff Traylor from UTSA.
Jeff Traylor. UTSA. They went 10-2 this year. We got to play them next year. They're coming in here. That's not going to be a cakewalk, man. A lot of fans think we're just going to roll over the Roadrunners. It doesn't work like that. I'm already nervous about that game. All right, man. Like, Josh Heupel should at least be on that list, yeah. Right?
He should at least
be on that list. We went 10-2 at Tennessee for the first time in 20 years.
And you've brought this team to a top 10
See,
ranking.
That's all right. I'm giving you some hard truths here today, Vol Nation. I know some of you want me to be more upset about the Hendon Hooker snub than I am. I'm sorry. I'm not going to fake it for you. I'm going to tell you how I feel. Josh Heupel not being on that list is a bigger snub than Hendon Hooker not going to New York City, and here's why. Josh Heupel's what he's done here is remarkable. The turnaround, nobody saw this coming. Hendon Hooker was on a lot of those Heisman dark horse lists in the preseason. It's not necessarily that surprising that he was even in this conversation. Again, I'll tell you what I think, man. I'm going to let it rip. People aren't going to like this, Bear, but this is the truth. Hendon Hooker had a great season. He's a great player. He's instrumental in this Tennessee football resurgence and renaissance that's happening. Yeah, you know where I'm going.
What are you doing?
You know where I'm going?
Go ahead.
He's not the this is Josh Heupel's offense. And we're going to have a lot of these guys put up stupid numbers like this. I love Hendon Hooker. I hope he does. I hope he recovers, man, and has a great NFL career. I really do. I don't think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL. Okay. I mean, you can be mad. You can be mad at me. I'm telling you the truth. I hope I'm wrong. It happens occasionally, not very often, but I hope I'm wrong at this one. I see him having a Josh Dobbs like journeyman, like clipboard guy career. You see Hendon Hooker becoming a starting NFL quarterback. No, you can't say yeah. Like the silence is deafening in here.
Well, no,
I'm sitting here thinking. You're thinking. It's not like Peyton Manning.
Well, there's
or
like
somebody
what?
Else like, yes, there's, of course
there's
he can.
Like 24 people on the planet that you can absolutely say
yes. That's what
yes.
I'm saying.
It's not like it's the easiest thing in the world. So and so much of it almost doesn't really have, you know, sometimes doesn't have to do with someone's ability or anything. It's just being in the NFL, getting in the with the right team, the right situation, the right time.
I agree.
There's so many variables to it, Russell.
I don't think he has the ability. I don't see Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I don't even really see Tua/Jalen Hurts. Again, hope I'm wrong.
I think he's got a better arm than Tua.
If he does, he's going to have a really good career, and I'll be wrong because Tua's pretty good, obviously. All right, stay with us. We got a lot to unpack here this afternoon. Christopher Gabriel's going to join the fray when we continue. Lucas Panzeca on the show today. We're jam-packed with you, folks. Stay tuned. It's The Drive just getting started on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, streaming online, fanrunradio.com, your free Fan Run app. A variety of ways for you, yes, you, to experience the program. This afternoon, we go to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines where Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, standing by. Good afternoon, CG. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well. Great to talk with you guys. Can I give a little plug to our show out here?
Please.
We are nominated once again for the best morning radio show in Fresno. We are one of three finalists. Yes, sir. So if we win tonight, it'll be back-to-back, and it'll be the sixth year in a row, the second for me. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed on that. Great to talk to you, gentlemen. I hope we have some time. Russ, I was listening to you a minute ago, and you know I love you, brother. I'm going to go 50-50 with you on this. The snub to Josh Heupel is ludicrous. It's absolutely ridiculous when you start going down the list of some of those names on there, how they kept Heupel off, I don't know. Here's where I disagree with you. You were, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you were essentially setting up an example of, well, you know, he's not going to, Hendon Hooker's not going to have a great pro career. He can be Josh Dobbs. Like, I agree with you. That should have zero bearing on the Heisman Trophy. Let me ask you a question. Did Danny Werfel win the Heisman?
He did.
How great of a pro career did he have?
Not great.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. Same thing for Tebow. Tebow was there, and I, you know, listen, both those guys are good human beings. They're good people, but I don't think, Russ, that has any bearing, but
I wasn't bringing that up as a justification for him not being invited. Okay. I was bringing that up as a justification for outrage at Heupel being left off the Eddie Robinson Award watch list, because I just think it's indicative of the fact that he can plug guys in. This is a system. I think Werfel is an interesting comparison because we keep using the Spurrier comparison, and I think that Heupel, if he stays here, is going to have a Spurrier-like run of just plugging guys in, just plugging dudes in this system. Don't have to be the most talented guy in the world to make this system hum. And I just think that, man, it's really disappointing. I think he should have at least have been on that list. I can't believe there are eight coaches who have done a better job than Josh Heupel this year.
I agree with you completely. Before we talk about the Heisman, and you're probably sick of talking about the Heisman as I am over the last day, but we're going to talk about it. But I got to ask you, every time you and I talk, I'm going to pull the curtain on our friendship. We have a great friendship. Every time we talk, you and I talk, you always say, if he stays here, why do you think that he's going to leave? Russ, I got to tell you, I do not think Tennessee is a destination job. Even in our worst years, in the 12 years, before our football lord, Josh Heupel, even in those 12 years, I mean, Tennessee was always a destination job. We needed the right guy. Anywhere that he goes is going to be a lateral move. Anybody who thinks that he's going to, and I know you don't think this, anybody who thinks that Oklahoma is going to grab him, they need to do a little research and see just exactly how he left, why he left, and the fact that he said it was the best thing that ever happened to him. He means it a little differently, but pardon my English, he ain't going back to Norman, Oklahoma.
I hope not. Yeah, and I just think that it's 2022. The days of guys staying somewhere 17 years like Fulmer did I don't think that's going to happen. Could be wrong. We'll see. He's a young guy. Maybe he has one of those runs. But, again, to go back to the Spurrier example, he was at Florida for 11 years. I know it seems longer, but that's kind of my target for Heupel. Like, if you tell me right now Heupel coaches here 11 years, I would probably take that, CG, because that means he stayed here long enough to win a championship of some sort and will have certainly left this program in much better condition than he found it.
Russ, I'm right in step with you. And, you know, we keep mentioning Spurrier. Listen, it was Steve Spurrier who flat out said, in today's college football, I think 12 years, that was the number he used, 12 years is the max number a guy should stay at a school, even if he's winning, time to get some new blood in. So I'm with you there. Now, do we want to talk Heisman? Did anything happen that we need to talk about with the Heisman?
Well, what are your thoughts on it? I just sort of assumed that he wasn't going to be invited and had stopped worrying about it after the South Carolina game and certainly after the Vanderbilt game. And does he deserve to go? Certainly. But I don't our fans are really, really angry about this. I don't know, man. I don't want to make it all about me, CG, but I stopped caring about the Heisman 25 years ago. Like, I'm still really, really, really pissed off. That is an anger that I will take to the grave, and so I'm not nearly as worked up about it as I think, like, 90% of our fans on Twitter are.
Well, two things can be true. Number one, we can have little to no care about the Heisman, and I am right there with you. Going back to Peyton, when Peyton got jobbed with Charles Woodson, with all due respect to Woodson, who was a great player, a Hall of Fame player, that was ABC and the late, and respect to him, John Saunders, pushed Woodson for that award endlessly, and Peyton got jobbed. That's one part of this that can be true. The other part is that people have every right to be angry. Here's where I'm at with this, because I've been salivating to jump on this program with you. I mean, where do you want to begin? Do you want to start with numbers? Do we want to start with
Give me the numbers. Give me the research. Show me what the data says, CG.
I'm going to tell you one specific area, and that is one of the criticisms, if you want to call it that, was that he got injured and he missed the game. And we heard that from guys on ESPN, from guys on Fox. We heard it on CBS. We heard it from all over the place. He got injured. So to that point, Russ, my point is, you as a broadcaster, you, me, as broadcast journalists, you have to know your history. I'm going to take you back to Charlie Ward, 1993. He missed Florida State's ninth game because of a rib injury. Missed the game. Charlie threw 27 touchdown passes against four interceptions, 3,032 yards. Russ, how many yards did Hendon Hooker throw for? 3,135, more than Charlie. 27 TDs, same as Charlie. Two interceptions, less than Charlie. Charlie won the Heisman. Hendon didn't get an invite. How about one more for you? Charles White. Charles White missed the second half of a game, of USC's opening season game against Texas Tech in 79. I know because I was there. And then he missed the entire next game, which was Oregon State. He missed a game and a half. He won the Heisman. He won the Heisman Trophy, and Hendon Hooker didn't even get there. So when you start... when you start listening to these guys pontificate and giving reasons, they aren't offering any historical perspective. Let's talk about Stetson Bennett for a moment. And I want two guys I want to center on here, Russ. And if I'm talking too long, just tell me to shut my butt up. C.J. Stroud. Forget Caleb Williams. Caleb and his Heisman and his nails. Bro, go win a game before you start doing Heisman Trophy poses in the end zone, okay? Go do that, and maybe paint your nails a different shade of color. All right, Stetson Bennett. Nobody, me included, is going to ever deny his ability as a leader. As a guy who makes plays when he has to make them, he's got a great story. His story is what makes this sport that we love what it is. But there's not one number, Russ, not one that lines up better than Hendon Hooker. Passing yards per game, TDs to interceptions, passing rating. Hendon is second in the nation. Rushing yards. Strength of schedule, Tennessee and Hendon Hooker, 8. Bennett and Georgia, 36. Oh, wait a minute. I'm forgetting something. Stetson Bennett was the offensive player No, he wasn't. That would be Hendon Hooker was the offensive player of the year. Well, surely Stetson Bennett was first team. Oh, no, he wasn't first team All-SEC either. That was Hendon Hooker. So So tell me in a rhetorical question, with all those numbers, how does Stetson Bennett get to New York City and Hooker doesn't? Granted, this year only four are going to get invited, but that's not the issue. The issue is the voters decided ahead of time what they were going to do. They tabulated, they left Hooker out. And when you bear in mind what the Heisman is supposed to mean, when you start to look at their own verbiage, you know, what they say matters. And I'm going to read it to you, just a brief part of it here. The Heisman Memorial Trophy annually recognizes the outstanding college football player whose performance best exhibits the pursuit of excellence with integrity, and so on and so forth. Hinton is all that. I'm not saying Stetson isn't, but in every category, Hinton Hooker comes up large. So to use the, he missed the game, that's ridiculous. And then you want to talk about transformational. How much did Stetson Bennett transform the Georgia Bulldogs from last year to this year versus what Hinton Hooker did with a team that was a game over 500 last year? They go, the Vols go, they lose to Purdue, you know, in a second-tier bowl. And now he had them in the running for the college football playoff national championship. Here is my biggest issue with all of that behind me, Russ. My biggest issue is that you've got multiple regions, I believe six regions in the country, that total 870 voters, even numbers of voters in every region, plus past Heisman winners. And you have a lot of voters, and I know some of them, and the ones that I know, integrity matters to them. It matters to get it right. But there are voters out there, that are allowing their own narrative to be driven by studio shows for ESPN, for ABC, for CBS, for Fox. And as soon as those guys, as soon as they decide this team is not worthy of our attention anymore, this player is not worthy of our attention anymore, that player is out of mind, out of sight, out of mind. And you hit on something earlier that I totally agree with. When you start to see the odds from Las Vegas and your guy, whoever it is, in this case it's Hinton Hooker, isn't listed in there, as Lee Corso likes to say, somebody knows something. And there was no doubt in my mind, even though people were getting angry and out of their minds, there was no doubt in my mind he wasn't going to be in New York. It's a travesty. It's an abomination. It's an embarrassment. And it makes this award seem like total garbage. Because Hinton Hooker, even if he didn't win, I defy any voter to tell me what his or her criteria was in leaving Hinton Hooker off their ballot, Russ.
I would love to hear that. I'm not holding my breath, but I would love to hear the – actually, I wouldn't love to hear it because it's just going to piss me off even more and they're not going to listen to reason. But Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno, is with us this afternoon. CG,
hey, Russ,
yeah.
Russ, may I interrupt? Before you move on, may I add one more thing?
One more, if I may? Yes.
I want to give you one quick parallel about voting, and it involves Fresno State. And this is really important to point this out. A couple of years ago, Fresno State and San Diego State were ranked in the top 25, both Mountain West rivals. Fresno State was playing down in San Diego. Fresno State annihilated San Diego State 27-3, and it wasn't that close. When the next AP voting came out, you know, AP cards are posted publicly, there were two voters, one in Nashville, one in Fayetteville, North Carolina, who had voted San Diego State ahead of Fresno State. I reached out to both of them and offered them to come on my program when I was on ESPN simply to explain their votes. Both of them declined, but one of them told me, as I'm sitting here breathing, I'm not making this up. Everybody in Fresno knows this story. One of them told me, I assumed San Diego State would win, so I went ahead and put them ahead of Fresno State. There's your integrity of a voter. Most AP voters aren't like that, but I am firmly in the camp of there are Heisman voters that vote the same way, Russ.
CG, I want to get your thoughts on a couple other things. Alex Golish leaving Knoxville, he takes over the South Florida program. This is Heupel's right-hand man in constructing this amazing offensive system that we're talking about here. How big a loss do you think Alex Golish is, and what do you think Tennessee needs when looking for a replacement?
Well, I think it's a big loss. I think it's a big loss because, he knows that playbook inside and out no differently than Josh Heupel. And they are probably thinking the same things on plays that need to be called. in terms of their methodology on first, second, third down, on a fourth and short, fourth and long, depending upon where they are on the field. That said, and some may disagree with me here, before Josh Heupel goes outside the system, I wouldn't turn my back on Mr. Halsley, on Joey Halsley, because he knows the system just as well. He hasn't been a play caller. We don't know what kind of a play caller he would be, but the important thing is there's not a learning curve for him. He's in the system. He knows the guys he's got. He knows the guys who are coming in, and there's not going to be a big transition. If Josh goes outside, he's going to look for a guy that is in Josh Heupel's image. He's going to look for a guy who is youngish, who is aggressive, who is unafraid to put guys in space, to push the field, to stretch the field. It wouldn't surprise me to see him. I don't think he's going to look to the NFL, because NFL guys come down, and the only reason they come back to college is because they want to position themselves for a better NFL job. So I think that it's going to be Halsley, or he's going to look for somebody, probably Russ, and this is just a speculation, probably somebody that maybe isn't a household name. I mean, how many folks knew about Golish? How many folks knew about Halsley? Probably not a household name, but someone who can absolutely deliver the kind of production that that Josh had with Mr. Golish.
No doubt about it. Christopher Gabriel, KFJ Fresno, with us this afternoon. All right, CG, important announcement. Tennessee is headed to Miami to take on Clemson in the Orange Bowl. And so is CG. Well, you'll not be taking on Clemson in the Orange Bowl, but you're going to Miami for the game, and you will be attending as the Drive's official Orange Bowl correspondent. This job pays really well. You should consider yourself very fortunate to be found in this position, CG, but you are going to be down there reporting live from the scene on South Beach for us. This is very exciting.
I am very excited. I was honored for you to give me that that title, being your correspondent. I got paid appropriately. I got the Fan Run T-shirt, so I've got that. It fits. It's very comfortable, by the way. It's very soft, especially when you wash it a couple times. Very soft. But indeed, I'm going to be going there with my brother-in-law, who you met. We all hung out together in Knoxville for the Florida game. My brother-in-law Kevin, the retired Lieutenant Colonel, United States Army, and we're going there. And I am going to be prepared to deliver whatever you need, whenever you need it. I will be at South Beach. I will be at Hard Rock Stadium. I will be there for the correct shade of orange, taking on the other guys from South Carolina.
Very exciting. Very exciting. So we'll have plenty of time to break that down. We're going to have you on a couple times here before Christmas, I'm sure. CG, before we let you run here this afternoon, let me get your thoughts on this. And we haven't talked about this before, so I want to get your fresh, off the top of your head thoughts. You're out there in Pac-12 country. What are your thoughts on Deion Sanders at Colorado, the stir he is creating there? I'm kind of torn on this. I don't see him. I don't know if he's going to be super successful, a complete failure, or anywhere in between, CG. I know this, though. He is going to be entertaining. I cannot look away. This is fascinating.
Yeah, I'm largely where you're at watching this and you know, being somebody who is a Pac-12 alum. I think that he's going to get an immediate burst of talent that are going to come through those doors. However, if you're Colorado, first of all, people who don't know, Colorado is a great school. It's not just it annually gets high on party list schools, but it also has one of the bigger dropout rates because it's a really tough academic school. It's a beautiful campus. Boulder is a great city, but it's Colorado. It's not USC. It's not UCLA. It's not Oregon, Washington. It's not Utah. And he's going to get a lot of juice, but he is still going up against, right off the top, Lincoln Riley, Chip Kelly. He's going up against guys that are established. Kalen DeBoer very quickly up in Seattle has established himself. You've got Utah. I think that he's going to do well there, but I do not think, and I'm kind of in the middle here, but I'm leaning Russ towards, I think he's going to do well, but I don't think that he is going to set the college football world on fire. I feel that he's a little better positioned than Brian Harsin was coming to Auburn, but there's one thing that I feel with both of them. Harsin had success at Boise State. I certainly covered him out here. And Deion had success at Jackson State, but I feel like the job right now is just a little beyond his reach. Not saying that it won't be down the road, but I think the first couple of years, I don't think that he's going to have as much of an impact as a lot of people think or hope he will.
I just like the level of access he gives those videos that his son does, and they just put them up unedited, which I really like. They don't have all the bells and whistles and everything. It's such a cool look behind the scenes into a college football program. And in a day and age, CG, when there are so many coaches that want to hide everything, everything's behind closed doors, keep it in the family, don't talk to the media and all this stuff, fans love this level of access, even to a program I don't care about. I find myself watching all these videos and some of his Jackson State stuff as well, and it hasn't hurt him at all, CG. These guys think that they're dealing with state secrets and that it's going to give them a competitive disadvantage. I would argue the exact opposite, because it's getting attention to a program that needs some attention, and we live in a day and age, sometimes any publicity is good publicity. It's certainly not bad publicity, what he's getting right now.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, Deion Sanders fully understands, not only is he Deion Sanders, he understands the value of prime time. He understands his background as a football player, where he was very successful, a baseball player, he was very successful, now as a coach. And I'm with you. I love the access that he gives. I mean, he's somebody who I think is good for the sport. I think he's going to be great for the Pac-12. In many ways, he is going to be for Colorado what Danny White has been for Tennessee. Danny White coming in, going on Twitter, seeking fans' input on everything from should the letters go back on the top of Neyland, so to the font on the field. He has made fans feel a viable part of the football program. And similarly, you have Josh Heupel following that line of thinking, being the same way. And so I think with Deion has understood, listen, this is the University of Colorado. This is the State University of Colorado. We're going to open these doors up. We're going to let people see what we're doing. And you're right. The more eyes on the product, the more eyes on pages that are going to be getting written about what Deion is doing in Boulder.
Christopher Gabriel, we love you, my friend. We will be checking in your first check as official fan-run Orange Bowl correspondent should be in the mail. Let me know if you don't get that. I'll see what we need to do. But we appreciate.
Bear told me he was setting up direct deposit, but I'll go ahead. This is fine. This is fine.
Yeah. Okay. we'll make sure that gets through HR for you. CG, go check him out at CG Program on the Twitter machine. Always a pleasure, Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno. Thanks so much.
All right, brother. Love you guys. Talk to you later.
Christopher Gabriel, one more time on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines.
He wasn't having any of your nonsense.
Do what?
Came at you with your deal at the beginning there.
Oh, the hooker thing?
Yeah.
He came at me? I don't feel came at.
Like he had to put you in your place a little bit, tell you what was what, set you straight.
Okay. Christopher Gabriel is going to kick your ass, Russell. Big Orange Phillies phone lines.
You're a moron.
We appreciate them. Very hostile right now. A lot of hostility coming from that side of the table. I don't know what brought that on, but okay. Can I do my live read without being insulted? Is that okay?
Yeah. Just
what? What now? It can't just be yes. Is conditions attached to it? What can I do to make you more comfortable?
Stop doing the cute thing where you take your cheap shot and then you'll roll into something official because you know that I can't interrupt you on it and call you out.
I have no idea what's happening right now. Let's just take a quick break.
Go ahead with your read for real.
No, we get it. You're angry. Stay tuned. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Barrett, Marcus Young back with you. 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines this afternoon, 546-8200, your number to get on board. Christopher Gabriel, KMJ Fresno. Bear, what did you learn?
I mean, he feels like the rest of us do. When he gets down to the numbers, that's the thing I like about Chris. He always brings, like, he's a numbers guy. He's not just going to say something. Give his opinion, he'll back it up with facts, and I mean, it's hard to lie. The only correction I'll have for him, Hendon Hooker didn't – he put up those numbers not against the eighth strength of schedule. He didn't play against Vanderbilt. So when you take Vanderbilt out of it, Tennessee had the third strength. That's what he faced, was the third toughest in the nation.
You think if he doesn't get hurt at South Carolina, we lose that game and they bounce back and he leads us to the resounding victory at Vanderbilt, you think he at least gets the invite?
Yeah. Yeah.
Me too.
I do as well. So I still think – you know, and it's something – I'm a lot like you in that I stopped caring about it 25 years ago. The only time I even really even think about it is those stupid commercials.
Those make me mad too. Yeah. Peyton should be the star of those.
How good would he be?
He'd be the cornerstone of those things.
He'd be there making chicken parm in the kitchen.
Stupid Tim Tebow in there. Freaking Barry Sanders.
Whoa, easy now.
Well, yeah, I'm not ripping them as players. They're both great players. Just saying.
Barry Sanders thing. Okay, is one of the funniest bits.
Who has the more forceful, impactful personality? Who's the better salesman? Who would sell more Nissans? Barry Sanders or Peyton Manning? You don't have to answer. You don't have to answer. It's a rhetorical question.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't mean as much. So,
hate that I will take to my grave. I'm trying to let go of things too. I don't have much. I don't have much that I haven't forgiven, that I haven't forgotten, that I haven't moved on from. The 97 Heisman Trophy fiasco, and I have no interest in letting go of it. It fills me. It keeps me going, the hatred for the Heisman Trophy committee. Partly because like I don't know any of the voters, so there's like nobody that I have to like feel bad about hating. I just hate the award.
He's – part of the problem is, I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks we've had since Peyton, and I'm surprised you weren't more outraged about it, to be honest with you. Because it's pretty close to what they did.
About him not getting –
If he doesn't get hurt, then
it's
yeah.
Close to what? Were you about to say Peyton not getting the award?
Yeah.
No. No, stop. Stop. Well, we have 25 years
now.
25 years ago, people forget the level of outrage. There's a reason I'm not letting go. People will have forgotten about this by next week. Years from now, nobody will remember about Hendon not getting invited. People who were around there, who were fanning hard in 1997, if you are a real fan, and maybe I care too much, definitely care too much, but that's a level of – like it lasted for – like I remember Mike Keith having on – like he got – I don't remember the guy, but he got somebody – it just like schooled, just like tore him apart the week after that on local radio. It was just – it was terrible. It was terrible because up until – and at that time, it was a more prestigious award than it is now. I think young folks – Marcus, like, I don't know how your generation perceives the Heisman Trophy, but back in the 1990s, like, it was
a big
maybe
deal.
The most prestigious individual trophy in American sport. Can you name – like – we don't even really know what the NFL MVP trophy is. You know, I mean, it was an iconic award. And Peyton had – you can go back and look at his numbers. His 97 season was absolutely fantastic. He was strong all the way through. And they just got tired of him because he had been around so long and he'd been a story since his freshman year coming into college, and he had had three great years as a starting quarterback. They just got tired of him. The way ABC at that time was in bed with the Big Ten because they were showing all those games. Like, they just decided, and then people jumped on like wildfire. It's like, let's give Charles Woodson this award. And, like, he was a great player, but it was it's a tremendous injustice that was done to Peyton Manning because he was – probably the best quarterback of the 90s, certainly the best college football player of that year, maybe the best college football player of the decade, and they screwed him, man, with his pants on for absolutely no reason. A guy who did everything right, by the way. All the stuff we're saying about Hendon Hooker off the field being such a great guy, you can say the same stuff about Peyton Manning. when he was in college and after college, obviously. But, like, he was a class act both on and off the field. And they just screwed that guy. They just screwed that guy, man.
The only other award I can think of that in sport would be maybe to compare it to when I was growing up was like, getting that green jacket in Augusta.
Mm, yeah, that's a good comparison.
It's a very exclusive, you know, you get that thing slid on your shoulders, there's no – I mean, you're
at least
best.
With that, though, it's not up to media people or any kind of vote. There's only one way to get one is you got to go out there and earn it. And Peyton Manning earned the 1997 Heisman Trophy, and they didn't give it to him, man. It sucks. All right, Marcus will be in with the top four at four. We'll get a World Cup update, a couple of other things going on around your world sport, including big news emanating from the Music City today. The Titans making a change with the top Titan. We'll talk about it when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio.